good afternoon, everyone. We have the honor of presenting the film Courtroom 3H. Oh, I said it. We have the producer, Pedro Hernandez Santos, and the director, Antonio Mendez Esparza. It competes in the official selection. And before we commence, let's give him a good big round of applause. Now, let's go on to the, open the floor to the question, but to break the ice, I'd like to ask a question. It's a question related. Congratulations for the film, by the way. I liked it very much. It's a question related to the structure of the film, with the idea that the first hour, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's practically 1 hour exactly, we see a portrait, which is a bit more general, of this courtroom, whereas in the second, the portrait is a bit more individual. There's a general and a close-up, shall we say, take. Were you seeking this, or were the truly you encountered that in the editing room? Because I imagine the editing was quite complicated. Could you explain this a bit? Okay, thank you very much. We're very happy to be here. I'm very satisfied and very happy, as I was saying. The structure of the film was quite complicated because we shot the film without it being very clear what the beginning or the end was going to be, and we had started to find things on the way at the end of the film, for example. It's almost an accident. It's something that happens, and when it happens, we finally found an ending. But the structure, we tried different combinations, separate between mothers, fathers, children, civil defense people, that is to say, we slowly but surely, there was a certain obsession to try to explain the legal proceedings and emotions at the same time. We didn't know how to identify both very clearly. What was the key for the film? As it was a bit fragmented, shall we say, the film, we thought we had to find something in the episodes, or we had something to at least grab a hold of. We saw different episodes with different episodes, and then we looked at the different audiences and the court cases. The court cases, you've got audience until all of a sudden, if you don't come to an agreement, you have the hearing, the trial. For example, if you don't achieve the custody of your children, you go to court if you don't want to hand it over. So therefore, this brought about a certain structure, and also always, as we were not going to follow one case, we wanted to link them in a certain way. Not that they were all one, but they were all individual, particular, and different, but there was a link between them, a connection between them. We tried to do this, to link this and weave it all together with emotions, but it was quite, it took us time to manage this, but it's a way of being able to separate things or the material that we had shot and to give it some sort of meaning. Thank you. Hi, congratulations for the film. I want to ask two questions. One was, I'm not too sure you knew these legal proceedings beforehand. Did you know anything about them? And at what time did you think, well, okay, we can make a film here? And then I would like to know something about the judge, not the actor, but the figure of a judge in this court case. What relationship did you have with this person during the shooting of the film? What's this person like outside the court cases and the trials, because, and the hearings, shall we say, because we always see that person in the hearing. So what's this person like outside the courtroom? I think that it was for you. How did you get involved in this film? Well, this film emerges from the opportunity of shooting in the court case, in the courtroom, and he does it with the judge that presides the courtroom. He got a close relationship with him, and that's why the film exists. And then we didn't want to miss the opportunity. It was very open, the film. We didn't know what Antonio was going to be able to film, because Antonio, who's a director, who's very meticulous, had been in many of these court cases, and he had an idea of which way the film could go. But this is one of the films that could have been made in of Courtroom 38. There are many other films that will probably never be seen. This morning I was talking a bit about this film, not an answer, but a continuation of La Vida and Y Nada Más that we were here with 3 years ago. That film, it wasn't the right moment, but when time went by, I thought the legal system in that film was almost a plot device, It was a narrative trick. I wasn't very honest with the courtroom, and but the film, I thought it had limited the portrayal of the family, the American destructured family. There were the two issues, but there was another issue beforehand, which is that at the end of the day, I've always made fiction films that tries to not be fiction. At the end of the day, the storyline with Pedro, for example, I always ask him for more time. I always want to film more. I want less script. I want more characters. We come to an agreement, obviously, but and in this case, these two things allowed us to make this documentary that we wanted to have shot quite a while back, but we were unable to. And this gave me time and distance to think about the film that we could or and made at the end of the day. This opened up a few doors, but this is true. And perhaps this is a bit naive, but a bit, we're like suicide pilots. What do I mean? No, not a bit, but quite a lot. Because Pedro says, I'm hard-headed, but we don't make the film so well prepared. We have a certain intuition, and the truth is to making the film is what opens up the path and shows us which way to go. Obviously, I went to the courtroom, and I had some thought of what might happen there. But I didn't know exactly what. I didn't know what cases were going to appear before the judge. But I believe in cinema and film as a way of discovering, more in a way of, I don't believe in cinema as a, my way of telling a story that I don't even know very well. I more or less want to discover things. That's the way I've always confronted my projects, a bit unconsciously. And vis-a-vis the judge, well, the judge, to personalize who the judge is a bit mistaken, I believe. I think that there's a certain current in the U.S., of civil servants who believe in transparency and believe, in this case, in the First Amendment of the Constitution, which is the freedom of press. And that this is the court case, this has to become public. And he was extremely candid and is quite generous in his spirit. At a given moment, I asked myself, well, I don't want this film to be just an advertisement of the judge. I want the judge to get angry, and I want to... But then the portrait is what it is, but there's a decision which was made at a given moment, and they freed all the material in order to be able to present the film here today. And so that we're very thankful. And I think he's aware of the difficulty of his work and how the decisions he makes are not always clear, not always. There's a moment that he says, I think there's a specific case in the second half of the film, he says, makes a decision. The truth, I don't know, and I'm never going to meet this family in depth ever, but this is a decision I have to make now, today. So I think that sometimes I think in the future of justice are robots. Well, I'm not too sure that's the case. It would be a much more objective justice. I think today justice has to be a bit subjective, and this film demonstrates this is a person that can make mistakes, or may make mistakes, instead of getting it right. What drew my attention was how sensitive all of the people involved in the legal proceedings. From the outside, when I see them, it seems that the system doesn't care. It's all the same to the system, but we can see the lawyers and the judge are quite sensitive to the subject matter. Did you choose these people specifically because of this, or this just simply representative of the system and all the cases are exactly the same? I've tried. I'm not too sure whether I was successful, is to be very objective. We've tried to portray what we've seen I always say this in my films. People might believe that it's not true, but... And there are nuances in the film. There's a certain smile in some of the characters that appear in the court cases. There are certain nuances, but it's quite curious because it's a courtroom in which they believe in rehabilitation and participation. It's important what you have to say. Your opinion is important in one way or another. And in that sense, I believe that it's not a social example, but it tries to believe in society as an entity that we can try to find solutions in. So it invites participation, I believe. It's true also for me that, and above all in the lawyers, that not American cinema, but you've got this idea of a lawyer in American cinema who turns up with a dirty shirt and he's almost a disaster because he's forgotten his pants or whatever. It's not something that I found. It doesn't mean that in appearance there's a bit of a disaster. Some of the lawyers look disastrous in their appearance, but I saw quite a lot of discipline. There was quite, they were all in favor of the cause. It's a very courtroom which is quite specific. I'm not too sure with a divorce case, for example, an appointed lawyer would be the same, but I think what's being judged are the rights upon your children. It's very difficult. It's difficult to address. The conflict is very, quite present. But when we were filming the documentary, what surprised us quite a lot is the intensity of each of the scenes. There's a strain that there are very few that, well, if someone doesn't turn up to the courtroom, even something that seemed very simple and a small little element that was cleared up, there was some conflict. Some conflict arose in the court case, in the courtroom. And I think this is a portrait of what happens in the courtroom, a courtroom which tries to get things right, tries to rehabilitate. First of all, congratulations for the film. I liked it very much. I liked many things, but if I had to point one out, which it need turns into virtue, for example, aesthetically, which was the case, the limitations of what you shouldn't show the children or certain people due to privacy issues with the use of off the camera, off the outside the frame, you tell a lot of things that can't be seen. So therefore, I'd like to ask about the aesthetics of the film. Was there anything thought of when you were going to shoot in the courtroom, or is this set up in the editing process, or the editing room? No, we had quite a lot of limitations and a lot of uncertainties. In the court cases, the hearings, these are secret processes or proceedings, and your instinct, well, makes you get it wrong sometimes. It was a very delicate issue in the court cases to show the parents because they may lose their children. You're never going to have the right to do this. So therefore, we couldn't show them. But in the court case that we did, we can see the father. And there's a moment where you want to show him because you're living the court case itself. So therefore, you're a participant of it and you get dragged along. The same thing happened with the children. We didn't want to film them. But there are sometimes the camera, very rare case occasions, but you want to show what you're seeing. There's a big struggle between the limits that you want to impose yourself, and then when at that time when you're shooting, you're capturing that instant or that moment. I'm not too sure whether you let yourself be seduced or you believed you've got to show it, and there was a bit of conflict there about what to do. In fact, in the court case of the father who comes from Venezuela, you can notice it at times because there's a father is not filmed, it's cut off, and then you film him. Show him now. So we knew that we were going to fix that in the editing room, but we were testing that. And the film, it is true, the way we'd addressed it, first of all, I didn't want to use two cameras. I didn't want to put you two cameras, would have been a crime, sacrilege. But at the end I said, let's use them. And that's what saved the film, I believe, at the end of the day. And then I didn't want to demonstrate, to show the DAs, the district attorneys, for example. But to spending time there, you realize it's a film which is a bit more extensive. You've got to see the DA and the lawyers. So therefore, as we spent more time in the courtroom, the lawyers and the district attorney, where those characters became more important. The last court case was filmed on the last day. So we understood the language of the film in a different way. We were to place the cameras, focusing more the DAs and the lawyers. That's the film. That's the way the film should go. But it was a process. It was a discovery process, and also to see what limits we were going to have.
Hola, buenas.
Hi. First of all, congratulations. The truth is, I felt a bit. It's really affected me because the situations that are addressed in the court cases are quite harsh. I'd like to know, at the beginning, you attended 300 visits, I think. How long was your time in court for the shooting of the film? An emotional distance. How did you work about this behind the camera? Because I insist, the testimonies in that courtroom are quite serious. Thank you. We filmed for 2 months, where we followed the schedule of the court. That say we got there at 7:30, because there are sometimes you never know whether there's going to be a shut hearing, which is an emergency hearing. The case is initiated, something happens, the police intervene, social services intervene the next day, there's a hearing. There's a case which appears in the film. So therefore, we had to be there at that time. And then, depending upon the day, there are days in which the court lasts for 3 hours or others, 6 hours, and some other cases, there's no court. So for 2 months, we could film everything happened in the courtroom. Initially, we couldn't film the hearings, but we thought the portrait would have been incomplete. And we managed to convince him that we could film the court cases per se. And the emotional distance that you refer to, it's a question that it's difficult to answer. There are some times where I was filming some of the scenes that don't appear in the film, have some doubts about your role. What are you doing there, sitting down, filming with a camera in this courtroom? And then on the other hand, you've got your belief in cinema or in film as a method of exploring this truth which is unknown. There's a conflict there, there's a decision that a person makes that, just like in the case of the judges, it's a grey decision. I can't say that this isn't important. It is important, but at the end of the day, you've got to make a decision which is not easy to make, and it's not clear. And of course, there are quite a few times, but that's not important. Whether I was moved or moved or not, the truth is you're using it. One believes that at the end of the day, perhaps the film is worthwhile, seeing what it shows. It sheds some light on a situation which is quite common and quite universal. It's quite hidden, and not only is it hidden, but it's misunderstood, poorly explored, I would say. Hi, Antonio. Congratulations. Truly, it was marvelous. After seeing La Vida y Nada Más, I believed you when you said you found yourself with it. You've seen 300. You've got magic to find those cases. That's quite clear. What I would like to ask you is about the shelter families. There are several women partners. And in some cases, they win or lose. I would like to ask you about that and how appearances can fool you, with a father who looks very good with his golden watch, well-dressed, who self-defends himself, and then you hear him speak and you go, okay, careful with him. How do you play with this to choose your protagonists? Because at the end of the day, there must have been 800 like this, but you chose those ones. That's my question. Thank you very much. At the end of the day, there are two things. On the one hand, we wanted the audience to take the position of the judge. The judge obviously has got more information. Obviously, the judge has details that the audience is never going to know. But that wasn't the film. But we wanted to put the audience to constantly be judging all the cases you see. And you yourself taking small, making small decisions, for example, upon depending on how you react at a certain given moment, and you assess and value, evaluate the cases, better said. And as I said before, the link or the next, the connection we wanted to set up was always emotional. And above all, we wanted that connection, paternal or maternal and filial. We wanted this to stand out, that is to say, in all the different variations, whatever they may be. And that connection, question it as well. I'm not too sure whether this is good or healthy or whether it's, I don't know, this is what drove us. We wanted that to be present. There were cases, for example, cases that were very emotional or very disputable, where this doesn't didn't appear, so we eliminated them. There were very beautiful court cases that we eliminated because that wasn't the backbone of the film. So therefore, that was the requirement, shall we say, that we were asking for. Hi, thank you very much for the film because I think it's quite necessary. Thank you. Cinema sometimes exceeds fiction, such as in this case. But the story is, above all, whether you think that the documentaries are a necessary genre to go beyond journalism, to go further in depth in a series of things that perhaps journalism doesn't allow us to go in depth into, for example, because of the lack of faith, because of the citizens in journalism. And that on the one hand, and also the question of the last two cases that you've dealt with further in depth. Before you mentioned that the judge, you didn't want him to be the complete protagonist. Those two cases, you searched for them, which were issues that perhaps he was going to determine and make a sentence one way, and at the end of the way, he judged in a different way. Did you seek for those two cases to be in that way? Thank you very much. Thank you. As regards journalism and it transcending or not, I don't know how many people are going to watch this film, the truth is. And it's true that it's a film that tries to show, I don't know, what platforms it has or people who, I don't know, what people it might interest. But I'm not too sure it's up to me to say so, but when you read a lot of good work by journalists, it requires time and dedication by the journalists, and you've got to check your sources. In the entertainment business, for example, cinema is the same, filmmaking is the same, that is to say, it's not too different vis-a-vis perhaps cinema. It's perhaps worse, but it's always lived more and for longer on entertainment. And the second issue that you've addressed, I think that the decisions are very difficult. They are decisions that are difficult to make. It's strange for there to be a court case. Both parties have to believe they can win, at least the defendant, because, oh, I didn't see it. I wasn't there for 5 years, but normally it's a complicated situation. Therefore, in the court case, you've got to make a decision, but it's not clear cut. So therefore, we haven't chosen cases. There's a case that I was talking about this morning, which is a fascinating case, but doesn't appear in the film, where in the first half, everyone declared against the father, in this case, who was there, and a policeman. It was quite clear that the situation was going to be horrible for him. And the next day, everyone contradicts themselves. They say what they said the previous day was a lie. And then the policeman, they question him because he said one thing that demonstrates, and it demonstrates that it wasn't false. What do you do there? If you were the judge, it was a case which was truly surprising because you went from thinking one way to thinking all the contrary. I said something must be wrong because it's not possible. Where does the truth lie in such contrary opinions? I'd never been in a court case where, for example, lasted for 8 hours or 2 days. And what was quite clear in the court case, that the court case starts and initially it's not very interesting. It's a bit boring, or the proceedings, but slowly but surely you realize that the lawyers, what they do is start to close spaces. They close spaces And at the end of the court case, the higher team, whatever the team, we were in under tension because you get deeply involved. And everyone does their work quite well, and you've got a lot of doubts in your mind. So therefore, in this sense, what's in play is so big that to clear up the doubts, because obviously you feel quite moved, so therefore, and this is the result of the court case. I've never been in criminal or court cases, but in the films, the criminal court cases are quite clear. Well, because he did this, and there's no doubt, but perhaps they're also covered with a lot of doubts. I think there was one more case. We filmed only five because there are not too many court cases in a period of 2 months. And there was another one which was even much more extreme. Hi again. Could you tell me how the people reacted when they knew they were going to be filmed? I'm not too sure whether they complained. Of all of the court cases, I imagine, of those 300 court cases, there were many people that probably said they didn't want it. How did they respond to this? And then also, you've mentioned that the ending was a type of almost a gift that emerged that came out very good, and you liked it very much. I'd like to know that whether throughout the film there are other moments that you consider are coincidences and they've appeared out of the blue, and this ended up being great for the film and to put on screen. All is a coincidence. All is a result of just being there. There's nothing that's not a coincidence. We were just witnesses. We've tried to gather that exact... My first question, I forgot. Oh, whether the people complained about you shooting the film in the courtroom. Well, of course, on the first day we were shooting, everyone said no for us, didn't allow us to film. But in that case, we took, with freedom of expression, we took to the First Amendment, and it's as a public place that's protected us. And the judge approved that motion, so therefore we had no problems there. And then we did have for the judge to free the material, and there were a series of restrictions to change the names. Obviously to blur the face of the minors, things that you couldn't identify the families. But in the case of the second half, which were closed court cases, there was a slight difficulty there, but we alleged that it was for general interest, so therefore they opened up the second part of the film as well. So therefore, that's what's written, not in the sentence itself, but in the judicial order or the legal order. It's quite curious, but the lack of transparency not always protects the individual. All the contrary, normally it protects the state. It protects the state of doing things that in some case may end up being unjust. And that's why that interest was a primary vis-a-vis transparency, vis-a-vis more private type interests. And they said, well, they told me, you're going to shoot all of your work is going to be exposed and put on the screen. Well, obviously, that would be a tough situation, but there was a clear transparency here. And I think in that sense, the work of the courtroom, I don't know how to say it, was being exemplary in the faith of what's important, that is to say, transparency in this case. Let me tell you something, because I can, that allows me to participate. But when you hear Antonio speak, he always speaks as if this is really complicated. And it came out really quickly. And it was a surprise. And it was really cool that you liked it. I say that because he's got an impressive amount of work behind him to be able to convince the courtroom and the judge to be able to shoot. Initially, in the first part, we could shoot because they invoked the First Amendment, for example. They said, no, you can't shoot in the second part. But that perhaps the producer, the production company said, well, let's shoot, and we'll see what happens later. We've been working parallel with to how the legality of the documentary. That is, say, we could have, it may not have come up trumps. We could have got it wrong. And that's Antonio's merit. And also, of what he's ended up editing at the for the final edit. And there was a court case to see whether this document was of general interest, whether we could screen it and exhibit it. And the sentence was yes, with a series of limitations we had not foreseen, because those limitations for Antonio seemed drowning the documentary at the end of the day. But the result, perhaps someone said, it seems as if they're outside focus, and without giving them importance, you highlight them, because even if they're outside the camera frame, and it helps the final product. Antonio's got an enormous amount of merit, if you like this documentary, which is what we wanted. We thought it was a privilege to enter and record, and a privilege to see it, and a privilege for other people to see it. So the truth is, that objective has been exceeded by far. We've got time for a final question. If there's anyone that still has something to say, you again, for example. Now, I'd like to know, you said that you spent 2 months filming in the courtroom and editing. How much footage do you have? And what was the editing process like? Whether it was a bit of a pain, or was it all tied up? No, everything was very clear. It was a piece of cake. No, it was a bit of a disaster, really. We had 180 hours of footage with two cameras. About 90 hours of material, which isn't much, because the court cases are short, the hearings were short, but the court cases were long. It was complicated because we didn't find the tone. It wasn't easy sometimes. We wanted to make a portrait which was much more observational, and perhaps sometimes we got lost in trying to explain legal proceedings, and sometimes we wanted to show people, and it was quite confusing at the end of the day. I worked together with the editor, and we made a cut, and we didn't understand it. You couldn't understand. I said, well, we thought it was easy to understand. So it was quite difficult. It wasn't easy at all to edit it, but slowly but surely, we found little small communities that made certain sense, and we built it that way, but we constructed it that way. We've edited for quite a long time, and with a lot of headaches at the same time, because we've needed time for other cases, but it was a clear structure, and accepting you had to include things or not. But in this case, there were many moments that we loved, that we had to leave. When we lost one of those cases, that we wanted to kill someone because we had to eliminate it from the screen, from the film, from the final project. And it's been a great lesson of how to filter things out. The idea is we're going to spend 2 months here and let's see what happens. But obviously with a lot of faith. But there wasn't a story. It wasn't the story of a family or the story of the judge. No, it was what's the story of the courtroom? And that's quite extensive, isn't it? And the material that we've got, you could probably, I don't know how many films you could make, but I imagine quite a lot. And what was the film that we wanted to try to tell you? And it's easy to get lost. And what is it, this one or that one or the other story? But at the end, I think we found the film. Well, we're here in San Sebastian. That's a good sign. Okay, thank you very much. A big round of applause, and the court is adjourned.